Problems, problems, problems. Our world is full of problems. We turn on the news, it reports problems. We read the newspaper, problems. Not unusual to hear one say, our family is facing problems. We have problems in the church. We have problems at school. We have problems in the community. You know, really, we don't have problems. We just have problems. There's really only one problem in the world. And that problem is spelled with three letters beginning with the letter S. S-I-N. Sin is the problem. The work of the church, all that we do in a sense is facing the sin problem. Thinking about going to heaven, really all we're doing is facing the sin problem. The problem in the world is sin. It may very well be that those of us who preach and teach the gospel have allowed ourselves to emphasize one side of the problem and forget the other, or maybe at least not think about the other as much as we should. Those of us who preach usually can do a pretty good job telling people what is wrong. We usually can identify the problem. But sometimes we forget to talk about the solution, the answer. And I believe one of the greatest blessings that we have, one of the greatest things that we can talk about this morning, is the fact that there is an answer to the problem. In the physical realm of life, we have the serious problem of cancer. We're constantly looking for an answer. And if there is some discovery that just gives a ray of hope, we immediately begin to broadcast it. We immediately begin to encourage people to do something about it, to use it, to take advantage of it, to overcome the dreaded disease of cancer. And yet when we're dealing with the spiritual cancer, sin, we have an answer. We do not need to go to a laboratory this morning to try to find an answer for sin. We need not have a campaign where we try to raise money to do more research in order to find an answer for sin, because we already have the answer. And yet the majority of the people who would rush to take advantage of a cure for cancer sometimes will not even listen to the discussion of the cure for sin. We are always dealing with the problem of sin. It is important for us to learn how to deal with the problem. The lesson this morning is a very simple one, in which first we will suggest about 8 ideas that give us a wrong approach to dealing with sin. And then in the second place, we will present about 8 ideas that are involved in accepting the answer and being able to overcome sin, being able to deal with it in the right way. Again, I emphasize that we need to be able to deal with sin. There's not a one of us here this morning who has passed out of the innocence of childhood who is guiltless. And I would suppose that if you took an audience such as this, even though this is, in a sense, the cream of the crop, and somehow or other we had a list from God's account of all the mistakes that you and I have made, that we would be somewhat surprised at how many different mistakes we make. Not all of us making the same ones, but in a composite way, violating the will of God. And therefore, it is so necessary that we understand how to deal with sin. And I affirm to you in the very beginning today that there is an answer, that we can deal with it in the right way. I have prepared the outline that is on the back of the worship sheet in such a way that you can write one word in all of those blanks, in each of the blanks, to help you to remember that which is presented this morning. We do not cover sin in the right way by going about it in the wrong way. You may have noticed in the text that Dee read a few minutes ago, but especially the latter part of the first chapter of 1 John talks about the wrong attitude towards sin, and the first two verses of the second chapter discuss the right attitude toward dealing with sin. It is interesting that Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper," but Psalms 85 verse 2 says, "God covers their iniquity." And just in those two verses, we have the indication of what I have already suggested, that there is a wrong way to deal with sin, and there is a right way to deal with sin. We do not cover sin by going into panic. In our prayer a few minutes ago, Dan mentioned Judas. He used the word despair, which would also be appropriate here. Judas realized that he had sinned against Christ, and he panicked. He went into an attitude of despair. And as you well know, he committed suicide. He took his own life. I cannot see how that Judas did anything any worse than Peter did. As described in Matthew, the 27th chapter, and in the passages preceding that, Judas betrayed Christ with a deceitful kiss. But Peter denied Christ, and I suppose in one sense was even worse in that he did it three times and even used the Lord's name in vain in connection with it. And yet Peter became a powerful gospel preacher. Judas took his own life. The problem was that Judas went into an attitude of despair. He panicked. He did not think it through and do what he needed to do. You and I will never take care of our mistakes with panic. Because when we panic, we fail to think. And when we fail to think, we fail to act. And when we fail to act, we remain in the problem of sin. We also mentioned David in our prayer a few minutes ago. And in a positive way, David eventually did something about his sin, but notice in the first place that David tried to cover up his sin by committing another. You may want to write the word another in that passage. How many times have you heard someone say, two wrongs do not make a right? I think we know that, and yet sometimes we do not practice that. There are those who will recognize that a bad mistake's been made and then will turn around and try to make another to cover up that first one. And you do not take care of sin by trying to prop the first one up by a second or a third. David committed a gross sin in adultery. And then he tried to cover it up with murder and conspiracy. But that did not work. We do not deal with sin in the right way by committing another. In Joshua 7, we have the story of Achan, who tried to hide his sin. He had taken some items from the destruction of Jericho against the instruction that they were to take nothing. He had been able to conceal it in such a way that nobody, unless it could have been someone in his immediate family, and the indication is nobody but Achan knew where he had hidden these items. The children of Israel went up to fight the battle of Ai and lost. They could not understand, and they had to have God's help through the process of casting lots to determine who it was who had sinned. Achan thought he had hidden his sin, but eventually it came to light. And in this particular case, it cost him his life and the life of his family, as according to their law, they were stoned to death. 1 Corinthians 5 teaches us that we do not take care of sin by overlooking it. There was a serious problem in the church at Corinth wherein a man was involved with his father's wife, probably his stepmother. The attitude of the church at that time was just to overlook it. Paul condemned the church for doing that. In that passage taught that great lesson that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I'm thankful to report, as you well know, that 2 Corinthians indicates that they did take care of the problem later after Paul had written this first letter and almost went to the point of being too harsh with the sinner as they were dealing with the sin. But Paul taught very clearly in 1 Corinthians 5 that we do not deal with sin by overlooking it. I do not help you if I overlook your sin. You do not help me if you overlook my sin. Sometimes we may misidentify the concept of mercy and grace and think that tolerance is the same thing when it is not. We are not to deal with sin by overlooking it. James 1, 23 through 24 indicates that some will try to deal with sin by forgetting it. There is the description of the man who looks in the mirror, God's word, and beholds his problem, and then goes his way and forgets what manner of man he is. This is about the same situation as that which is suggested in the text today of denying that sin exists in the first place. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have not sin, we make him a liar. And so to deny or to forget sin will not take care of it. A few years ago, I performed a wedding ceremony for an older man and woman. In counseling with them, we discussed the situation that had been the background of each, which involved the death of different spouses. About a week later, the woman called me and said, "I've got a problem." I asked what. She said, "My husband has realized that he had another wife that he had forgotten." Well, he had six. I don't think I would want him to marry him. He buried too many. But he honestly, and I think he was truthful in what he said, he honestly had forgotten what probably was a sinful relationship in the earlier part of his life. But that did not take care of it in the sight of God. Sometimes you and I may overlook and condone and forget long enough that we literally forget that something happened. If I understand the Bible right, God keeps a record. Now, he will blot out, but he doesn't forget until there is forgiveness, and then he does forget. Hebrews 8, 12, and later on in that chapter, in that book, also it's said again. We do not deal with sin by forgetting it. We do not take care of our sins by blaming someone else. Adam, what happened? Eve's the problem. Eve, what happened? Satan's the one who did it. You and I thought that our children were the ones who thought up that phrase, "He done it." But it was back there in the Garden of Eden. But did you notice that Adam's blaming Eve did not keep Adam from receiving punishment, and Eve blaming Satan did not keep Eve from receiving punishment? It's easy sometimes to blame somebody else, but that does not take care of sin. It is also easy to persecute, especially persecute the one who informs us of the sin. Stephen was very plain in his lesson in Acts 7. He told the people about their sin. He told them they ought to be feeling guilty. He even went back and said, "You're like those who've gone before you." They didn't like it. They stoned Stephen to death. In this case, they went to the extreme of killing the messenger. But did that take care of their sin? You know, and I know it did not. We ought to appreciate the one who tells us about our problem if it is approached in the right way. And I suppose even if one has the wrong attitude and still helps me to see that I have a problem, that I ought to be thankful to him. We don't deal with sin by persecuting the preacher or the teacher or the one who tells us about the problem. And we do not take care of sin, folks, with time. Time does heal a lot of things, and time helps us to put things in proper focus. And time may very well help us to have a better understanding of sin and how to deal with it, but time will not cover sin. Sometimes people will say, well, time will take care of it. Time will take care of a lot of things, but it won't take care of sin. For God will bring into judgment every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12:14. We do not take care of sin with panic, committing another, hiding it, overlooking it, forgetting it, blaming somebody else, blaming the instructor, or just letting time take care of it. If time would take care of sin, would it not have been unnecessary for Christ to die? And would it not even have been unnecessary for the children of Israel to have offered animal sacrifices if time would take care of sin? But there is the positive side. There is an answer. And for that, I am so thankful. The answer lies basically in one word. And everything else that we will say will be discussing how we deal with that one word. The answer lies in the blood of Jesus Christ. The cure for the cancer was discovered a long time ago in God's laboratory, according to God's will. You and I are able to read that verse in 1 John 1:7, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. Now, did you get that word all? That means all. We've got a cure for one type of cancer, or we've learned something about one type. The blood of Jesus Christ is the cure for all sin. And we need to deal with sin relative to the blood of Jesus. Therefore, we need to recognize that we sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We also need to admit, especially to ourselves, which may be the hardest point, admit that we have sinned. Prodigal son said, I have sinned in thy sight and before God. I have sinned. That's not easy. You won't find many times in the Bible where somebody simply said, I have sinned, without a great deal of a negative situation to bring them to that point. Look what brought the prodigal son to say that. Look what eventually brought David to say that. We must recognize, and we must admit, and we must submit. Jeremiah 10:23 says that it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. We must submit ourselves to the fact that I am incapable of taking care of my own sins by myself. If I were, again, it would have been needless for Christ to die. So I must recognize, I must admit, and I must submit to what God's word tells me. Therefore, in dealing with sin, I must understand and apply obedience to the command of baptism. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. Acts 2:38. I do not say that to overlook the need for faith and repentance and confession or Christian living, but to emphasize the teaching of the Bible that that is the where, or that is the when, that the cure can be applied. Therefore, every alien sinner must deal with sin in scriptural baptism into Christ, into his death, and into his body. Not only is repentance necessary for the alien sinner, but it is especially necessary for the erring Christian. Simon the sorcerer was told in Acts 8 that he had sin in his heart, and then he was told to repent. Repentance is how we deal with sin. And it is not possible for God to forgive according to the way he has set up the plan, unless and until we are able to come to penitence. because God has placed that as a prerequisite. We're also told that we deal with sin by confessing our faults. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in James 5:16, which says we're to confess our faults one to another, we're also told to pray one for another that we may be healed. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Confess your faults for forgiveness. Confess and pray in order to be healed. Folks, that's dealing with sin in the right way. And so, though we cannot deal with sin by just forgetting it or overlooking it or in those other ways discussed, we can this morning, I say to you again, we can this morning deal with sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we need to constantly look at our own lives that we might recognize and then admit and then submit ourselves to God in being baptized for the remission of sins, and as Christians who've gone astray, repenting, confessing, and praying to God in order to be healed. And in that way, we deal with sin as God wants us to deal with it. And when we deal with it in that way, He wipes the record clean. And we must be able to forgive one another and especially learn to forgive ourselves by turning to the blood of Jesus Christ and the answer that is found in Him. We never have to panic. We never have to overlook or forget or deny, because the answer is there in the blood of Jesus Christ. A moment ago, we looked at the first part of Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But there is a second part to that verse, which says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall obtain mercy. I understand that verse and the teaching of the entire Bible to say it's not enough just to say we've sinned. We've got to forsake. Neither is it enough just to quit. We are to confess and obey God's teaching to receive forgiveness. But I'm here to tell you this morning that we can deal with sin. I don't care what your sin is or what mine is. The blood of Jesus Christ is bigger than all of them and will take care of all of them. If we will quit trying to deal with it in the wrong way, quit trying to deal with it our way, and deal with it God's way. I'm here to tell you this morning that whoever you are, you're willing to believe and repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, God will forgive. And whoever you are, you have sin in your life as a Christian and you're willing to confess and repent and pray to God, God will forgive. We deal with sin in the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Consider that as we sing together.